All right, it's 5:30 on June 15th, 2022. I'd like to call the Board of Water Commissioners for the Catoosa Fire District to order. Present are all three water commissioners, Hoppenstead, Robinson, and Horsley, and Superintendent Wiseman. I first asked for public comment, but seeing there are no public, there is no public, I'm going to move right into the review and approval of prior meeting minutes. Have we had a chance to take a look at those? We just have the April 27th minutes.
We accept them. I have one minor change, which might be worth making just because we're going to be talking about in the future. On the third line of the last page, the word nitro, N-I-T-R-O-W, just replace the W with an E. And again, the only reason I suggest this is because we're probably going to be talking about that in the future. We might as well get it. You see that, Chris?
Yeah,
I can give you this. Maybe that's it. Jen.
Nitro. So it's nitro with an E. Like row in fish. Nice catch.
Just saw it. All caps.
Yeah. Mark, have you had time to...
Yeah, I second the minutes. That amendment.
Okay, we've had a motion to approve the April 27th, 2022 minutes. It's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. One minor change, just a typographic error. Remove the W and replace it with an E in the third line of the second page. Nitro tank system quarterly monitoring. Water quality report.
All right. There were no total coal form violations for both months, since we are doing April and May here, basically. We did get our asbestos results back as a non-detect. We do have to do one test every 10 years, and we have one short section of AC pipe over on Old Post Road. And it came back with nothing from the house that is one of the houses that are on it. We did get our nitrate results back. They were basically, I did not leave a copy of those, but I did bring one. I know Tom likes to keep one with him. As last year's.
I might have one here.
Yeah, this last year's and this year's. Basically, it went up minimally. It went from a 2.3 to a 2.4. 10 is the MCL. It was actually a percentage point. Like it was 24.3, then it went to 24.8, something to that effect. But it did increase a very tiny bit. But
two,
different stations
two
went down, different stations went up.
2.4, not 24.
Correct, 2.4. We also did our sodium results here. You have a graph that has us since we've been doing this. We'll still continue until you say not to. We've been going quite a bit. Everything seemed to go down this time compared to the past, but it seems that the more water we use, sometimes it dilutes a little more.
So a seasonal variation, don't you say?
Seems like, yeah. We'll know a little more with the next couple tests, couple months. And we did do our final PFOS testing. And I put another little graph in there just to show you the different stations. If you look at the graph that we have in the packet.
I'm not seeing a graph, Chris.
It's not really a graph, it's just a,
this, yeah,
it looks like this,
okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's each test, each time we did it, just so we had them here and everybody could kind of see what was going on.
Yeah.
The first time we did it, we didn't have any detects except for station one, which had a combined 5.9. The next time that we actually had to do it was on 11.2, and we had at one and four, two detects, one for a combined of 6.2 and one for a combined of 2.1. As I said, 2.0 is the detection limit. Anything under that is considered a non-detect right now. The unregulated, there was a 2.0. I'm not positive which one that was, but if you need any more information, I can share the results with you that we have the state form.
Say that again, please. Unregulated?
So yeah, this the PFAS 6 is the 6 that they have regulated that can't go above 10 before the month. But there's also, there's, I think, 20 different things they're testing for.
Thank you.
Yep.
So are these numbers above the limits?
Yes. No.
No.
No. They're below. Surprisingly, too, we went out in January, had a high number of 9.3 combined at Station 1, which I had reported to you guys last time. This time we go out and it's down to 2.6. So it could be another thing where we weren't pumping a lot of water and you're getting it diluted in the summertime. So the more water you pump, the less you're getting in. The good news about this, in a way, is this, it was still underneath the 10 limit, which puts you on monthly testing. So now we can go, more than likely we'll get something from the state saying you can go to once a year testing, and I'll ask them if we can make sure it's in the summertime all the time. It'd be great. But we can still, we've got the money there, in there, if we want to go and do some testing every once in a while to find out. Just a reminder to everybody, it does get sent to DEP no matter when we do it.
Yeah. So I don't want to read more into this data, but number one, so I always have to look at the map.
In the middle, yeah.
That's the one that has, seems fairly consistently higher.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Which is kind of weird because it's between two.
Yeah.
You know, so it's right in that line also of where you're talking about with the zone coming through there.
Yeah, and water.
Yeah.
Interesting, though.
Well, I think with the EPA release today, we certainly need to continue. I would imagine the state's going to adjust their regulations.
Yeah, they'll come down. They have one guy that's been handling this stuff, and every time I talk to him, he's always like, "You guys are in a good situation. Good. You're in a good spot down there. Don't worry about it. You're doing all right. You guys, I know it doesn't look like that great," he says, "but you guys are doing all right down there." So, in other words, he sees enough that he's going on. He goes, "You believe me, you don't have the troubles that a lot of people do." I know.
Yeah, I'm doing work for a town of Manchester by the sea right now, and they have all kinds of issues with PFAS.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't figure out where it's coming from.
Well, didn't we learn that it was partly septic system?
Yeah, I mean, that's what Tom said.
Or they, Manchester must be sewer.
Most of it is sewer. They did some septics.
Do they check? Well, yeah.
But yeah, Tom, we have talked to Tom about it, but Tom's pretty involved in this. I think he's pretty expert on it. He does think that septics are a potential source. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're in the clothes.
Yeah.
The gray water's going.
Yeah.
Right? They're in your pots and pans.
So why do they don't dissolve in the water? How are they traveling?
They do dissolve in the water.
Oh, do dissolve.
Yeah, they dissolve, yeah.
They didn't know sand doesn't absorb it.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have much organics in our sand, so usually it's organic, attaches to organic. That's why they use a carbon filter to get rid of the stuff. That's why the wood chips are interesting, because they're... The preliminary research suggests they are moving at least pharmaceuticals and some other, but I was just asking yesterday, we don't have any PFAS results yet back on the systems, but they have done some sampling for that, so we'll learn more hopefully in the next month or two.
Right, that'd be nice, yeah.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice to get rid of it before we got there, that's for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
I guess because we're on the subject, I just want to bring up that Scott and I attended the Long Range Planning Committee, Capital Outlay Committee meeting last week. Is that on our agenda later? Or
it isn't, no. You can bring it up. Good.
Okay. Well, just to let you know that they wanted to discuss somewhat our placeholder of a $20 million treatment system. And I said, speaking for myself, that's not my go-to position. Study and placeholder because they wanted us to brainstorm needs. And so we really haven't grappled with this idea.
Mike comes up close to, sorry.
We haven't really grappled with this idea yet. We did look at the engineering report that we had that said it would cost $13 million or something. It would be located in the well field, and it was only for iron and manganese. So, in Barnstable Village is doing a $20 million PFAS treatment plant because they're concerned about the fire training academy, although most of their wells are to the west and this stuff is going south, so it's a little premature. But anyway, they voted the money.
Yeah.
And they're a smaller district than we are, I think, in terms of number of people.
They are smaller, and they also have to worry about the airport. That has the same chemicals out there. They used their drill system, and they used it for a long time out there, pretending like they were putting out.
So one of the things I said was, in my opinion, if we do have to go down this route, we should be sharing a treatment plant with one of our neighbors. Everybody shouldn't have to build their own treatment plant.
It's tough. At that point, you'd have to combine water mains, and you'd have to start mixing, and you have to start going into hydraulics of tanks and size, how tall they are. Then you're looking at altitude valves or something in there. It's tough. I mean,
I don't mean combining the districts. I just mean combining the water to be treated, because if they build a treatment plant in Marston Mills, another one in Couture, that makes no sense.
But you got to build the infrastructure to send all your water from Couture to Marston's Mills.
So they can send all their water to us, and we'll treat their water, and we'll make money off them.
You know, if this gets to this point, that is probably worth looking at, but I'm sure Chris is right. There's a lot of complications. Somebody's going to need to engineer cost all that out and look at the product. I mean, I'm not convinced one is better than the other, but the input that I gave at the meeting was I gave a little pitch for our source water protection, saying hopefully we do more preventative stuff. And the quick math I'm doing is if you do 100 septics at $30,000, that's $3 million. Versus 20. By the way, that $20 million treatment plant costs about $1 million a year to run.
Yeah.
And you got to replace those carbon units are expensive.
I'm replace that stuff.
I just heard over the grapevine too, and it's just probably because we haven't had a Boston County meeting in a long time. But I believe Calm is putting in a treatment plant right now, but I think it's iron and manganese, and they'll probably keep the option open to change out the filters to the carbon filters if they have to. So I was told just the other day. I said I don't know if Calm's done anything, but they are doing it. That's what an engineer said to me. I haven't talked to Craig over there himself to find out what's going on, and I live in Hills, and I didn't see anything about it in any of my notices, so I'm a little concerned myself.
Yeah, the example that I gave, which is not a very great applicable example, is New York City, which is the famous filtration waiver. They opted, instead of building a big filtration plant, they opted for controlling septic systems and farmland in the Catskill Mountains. And the case study, which has been heavily documented, saved them $6 million in capital costs, and I think $400 million a year. So, you know, if somebody would ask, well, does this source water protection stuff work? That's one pretty heavy-duty example.
Correct. And if it can be done over 20 years rather than all in 1 year,
so I think
we might be talking great. Yeah,
you know, we're going to talk about this later, but I really think this is worth exploring just from an economic standpoint. But we've got to make sure these things work for the target pollutants.
I think not only from an economic standpoint, but you can build treatment plants all you want, but if the contaminants continue to rise, you're just going to have to expand them. You're not going to still have the same problems.
Well, and I think, you know, cost-benefit analysis, not that serious. I mean, buying everybody a filter and changing it however often it's changed.
Yeah.
How many homes do we have on our system?
Accounts, we have roughly just under 2,500, 24 or 42, something like that,
How much does a Brita filter cost?
Well,
you could say it's 100. I don't know. Is it 200?
You have to put it under the counter, carbon unit. It might be $400 or $500.
Okay, but we buy them in bulk, so we get discount.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's still times 2,500. What's that math? Still a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
If you had to replace them every year.
And you work with contractors.
Yeah.
To support them.
Yeah.
Why not?
Can the homeowner install them?
Need a plumber. You would need anything into the plumbing. If there's the plumbing done in the house, you're supposed to have a licensed plumber and then do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And pull a permit for each one.
It's a contract. Right.
Yeah. So you're helping everybody.
So
you're helping everybody
out,
right?
Yeah. Well, we're skylarking right now.
Yeah, we are.
But I do think
that's what you guys were doing in that meeting.
Yeah.
And the reason we put that in there was just for that, to raise the flag that you guys want to think about long-term planning and come up with a capital improvement plan that should be on the radar.
Right.
Just like
potential.
All the other options.
Yeah, I want to look at this new rule because if the cost ratio is going a lot lower, we may be there sooner than we think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that come with testing? I imagine they're going to require testing. More testing, is that right?
It just came out today, and I know,
I know
Mass Water Works has been fighting it and everything now, and then poor Jen Peterson sent out afterwards another letter for two different regions in Massachusetts going into a drought already.
Yeah.
And she said, so I'm just full of good news today. You know, basically sent out another blast to everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else on water quality?
Nope.
So I did notice in the data table before, what was that I passed over to you? Oh, in the nitrates, we only had one well that went down. So four of them went up.
Yeah.
And it's just well five that dropped, the deep well.
The deep well that's over there by itself. The other ones, three of them are together. One, you would think even the PFAS, but if one goes up, they're almost all going to go up.
Yeah.
They're all in the same aquifer over there.
That does lend some support to targeting that area north and west of our three primary well state pump stations for some septic treatment and some public awareness outreach on nitrates, on sodium, etc.
Test wells in there. You'll talk about those a little later. Okay, that's it.
That's it for water quality.
For water quality.
Superintendent's report.
Sure. Superintendent's report read today, June 15th, 2022. Pumpage for April of 2021 was 10,148,000, and April of 2022 was 10,478,000, for an increase of 323,000.
So we have this in black and white. Are we reading time goes this way?
Yeah, it's 2022 is on the far left.
Time goes that way, so 2022 is
everything's
on the
black and white.
Could we, I think I mentioned this before, this is good to watch. Could we just get them going in chronological order? I think that would be much more, especially if we show these.
You want to reverse the order?
I think it should go left to right in terms of, I mean, that's typical.
Unless you're in China and you read everything to the left.
Right. So this is going, so the most current ones are on the left here, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's most current here.
Okay. So it's going up then? April went up consistently the last 4 years. Am I reading that right?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
And May also, I'll give you, because we didn't meet last month, in May of 2021, we pumped 20,958,000 gallons of water. In May of 2022, 17,035,000 gallons of water, for a decrease of 3,923,000 gallons of water. Pretty wet this year, and hopefully all them fertilization wells that are going in are making a difference.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe. Irrigation well?
Yeah.
If you want to
the COVID
something to me
about. Yeah, well, I'll talk about that now. Yeah, a little later. Yeah. We had zero new services and zero replacement services in the last 2 months, but we did have one leak each month, both in one-inch copper that was defective plastic that was put in back in 1983. brand of plastic that was sold, I'm not sure what company, but it was called Yardley. And first time I ever saw it was at Scott's house, and it was private at that point. And before you bought the house, or maybe when you did have it, I'm not positive, a gentleman, we helped him put a one-inch service.
Yeah, no, that was after I bought it, because something happened. It was a leak or something.
Yeah, it just separated. I ended up finding that, digging it up.
Okay.
Where it was.
All right.
And I was down there, and we turned it back on, and I was amazed. It looked like somebody cut it with a set of cutters. It's actually, it gets brittle, and whenever there's a little bit of stuff, I actually picked it up and hit it on a rock, and it just shattered. So this is what this stuff is now. It's brittle, and we're having, as a matter of fact, the new guy, John, was out for 8 hours one night replacing a water service for a guy over on, for a woman, elderly woman over in Screechum Way, all night long with the crew trying to get it replaced so she could have water for the morning and everything else. So it was a long night for him. The other time was one over on Forsyth. So we did have that, and if they're starting to go like that, that's the third one this year that we've seen that was just bad plastic.
Is there a lot of that under the ground? A lot of that
basically, plastic? Just about everything that went in 1983, I'd say. So that was a pretty big year, so we could have a lot more out there. We did finish the flushing program. JR did on May 12th, mid-May. We're still in the 50th percentile of our wells, or the test well for our management permit. That well that's over by the high school gets tested, and there's a site on the USGS, I think it is. And it's up a little more than it was last year at this point, quite higher. So it's still traveling right around the 50th percentile. We're doing pretty good with water right now. If we don't get any rain and everybody pumps like it is, it's gonna go down. It's still not excellent as it was 3 years ago, but it is doing well.
So while we're on pumpage and how that relates to the water rates, I noticed in the new annual report for FY 21, and this is the report of the district treasurer, and he said that the district revenue was $670,000 higher than the budget, due primarily to increased water revenue of $433,500 attributable to the new higher rates. And then he said the 2022 tax rate represents a 12.4 decline from 2021, primarily due to the 46% increase in water revenue and 10% increase in property valuations. So we had said that we expect, all things being equal, if the water rates go up and the revenue goes up, the tax that we pay should go down to offset. And it did, at least in this 21 to 22 period, which is, I think FY 21 was the first real fiscal year that the rates had taken effect.
Right.
So, I think we accomplished what we wanted to do. We've increased the revenues, we haven't increased the pumpage, and we've lowered the taxes.
Sure.
So,
yeah. And maybe conserving a little water at the
maybe.
Same time.
Yeah, at the same time, correct.
Hopefully we'll see that.
So I think all in all, that whole effort has been successful. I think a few more years hopefully will show continued decline, but you never know. If we get another really dry summer, all bets are off. I mean, I was reading about Salt Lake City and people voted down any restrictions on watering their lawn, even though the Great Salt Lake is drying up.
The city made that vote against it?
It was one of the towns.
Yeah.
But, people, they want to irrigate their lawn with water supply that is going off. It's crazy.
Let's see. John, the new guy, he actually went out and took his T3 and passed it the other day also.
Good.
So he's still going strong. He had a class that was free for him. He took it on his own after hours and took the test and passed, so he's getting reimbursed for that now. It's still in training right now, but he also just graduated from Cape Cod Community College, got a degree, and I don't know, he's going to go and keep continuing going to night classes and everything else, if it will help him to go. I don't think it's not a science degree, I think it's a business degree that he had, but I don't think that'll count towards making his license instead of being in training a full license. I think it has to be a science degree. They give you a couple points for that, or shorten up the time limit that you work and stuff like that.
Do we ever do a, bonus bump, a little thing on anything like that? I don't know if we can do that.
Excuse me, what?
You know, like some reward for him passing the exam, or, maybe getting a degree?
We did in the beginning. What we did is, in the beginning we said, hey, we want you to get your license as quick as possible.
Yeah.
2 years, if you do it, we'll give you a dollar raise. So in the beginning, just to get the licenses to that require him to work there, we gave a dollar raise until they got up to where they had the required licenses, which was only actually two different licenses, a T1 and a D1, because it has to be, T1 and a D1.
It seems to me it would be a good thing, even if it's a modest something or other reward structure.
Well, it comes up once a year.
Is that the best way to do it?
Okay.
Yeah. End of the year.
Yeah.
All right.
True. All right, it's not down here. I will tell you guys that there is a new, besides PFAS jumping on everybody, they've also thrown a revised lead and copper rule upon us, where we're going to have to do an inventory of all pipes in homeowners from private and town-owned, yep.
Lead and copper?
Anything. They want you to inventory the entire pipe going into the house.
How are you
going to?
Drawings
that we have, and hope that we keep enough records that when we've taken them out and put them in, I actually had one of the guys go through and write down every lead gooseneck that we have in town. We went through the list and went through to every repair we've done that we can think of that's been dated, and went down, and there's roughly around 300 of them in the ground. Every time we take one out, I cross it off the list. So I have a list of them there. We have to, I think July of 2022 or 23, I don't have the new rule with me, we're going to have to put an inventory of the lines sent in with a plan on getting rid of 3% of them a year if there's any lead. Some kind of plan. There are SRF funding out there right now.
Yeah.
They just put out with 100% a reimbursement, and they're starting on July 1st to take application for that stuff. Jen feels as though we could do a simple inventory ourselves. It could be something as simple as putting into an Excel form to go down, changing it over after that and getting it to where it has to be submitted, and what the plan will be to replace after that. Might need some engineering, so I am getting approached by a couple different engineering firms already saying, let's go get you that free money, and get some stuff done. So, just to let you know, I might jump onto the bandwagon and make an application for some SRF funding to see if we can get some 100% back. There's a couple different ones out there.
So these aren't lead pipes to be replaced, they're just the joints? Or the lead, the solder, what is it?
Yeah, it's funny, because the lead and copper rule that came out first was, if the house was built between this date and this date, you go test that house. And after you do so many tests, you can get down to doing 20 tests a year for us every 3 years. This is one of the years that we have to do the 20 tests. Now they're saying, you know what, this isn't just good enough. We also want to know, because of Flint, Michigan, what lead's in the ground, how you're going to get rid of it so that it doesn't happen. Why, if you have anything that you don't know what it is, we have to assume it's lead and you have to get rid of it. So they want a complete inventory.
But we don't have lead pipes.
We have lead goosenecks. They consider that still part of the service. So originally, because your pipe comes in, you got a 3-foot piece that they used to put lead in, now it's copper or plastic, that goes in and it looks like a gooseneck because there's movement of the pipe, and that's a flexible pipe so it won't break. If you had something straight, it could break stuff. So that's always been there for people with the services, because you never know who slams the shower on and off and everything else in the house. So that's always been there so that when the ground settles and everything else, you don't snap the service or anything. So originally, that was the only flexible thing we had. So that was original back then, and I think it goes to like late 600 in the account numbers, or early 600s, but that's when we started putting copper in. Instead of lead, and then we went to plastic after a while. So you just have to put that inventory out, and they want to know, and then they'll come to us and say, now you've got to get in 3% a year of those 300 that you have. You've got to get rid of 3 a year or whatever it is, you know, so many a year, 30 a year or whatever, I don't know, three, which usually can be done in a leak if it's an old thing or a replacement service.
So if you've got the funding through SRF,
it has to be able to get, though, that money has, we have to see, in the beginning, they didn't have the funding for replacement, that you could pay someone to do it. They just had the funding to find out where they were, and to put a plan in effect. After that, to go after the money to be done, it's probably going to go into another grant from someplace and looking for that money later.
So, is this a capital expense or an operating expense?
It'll more than likely be an operating expense, and I'll probably have to go to Ray and say, can we open up an account where I can pay these guys, and then when we get the reimbursement check, you can replace it into my fund. Open up an account somehow. I did it with Mike when he was the treasurer. We did the last generator over at Station 5. We got into some... one of the grants, which was 75% reimbursable. We had the money, so we had to open something up to pay the bills, an account, so when the check came back, he could replace it back into the district and everything. But that was out of a capital that we had left over, so it was a little simpler. So I'm going to have to ask if there's a way to do it with Ray, that we could take it out of there and place it back in.
So right now, you just, first step is the engineers to do the study?
To put the application into the SRF and to discuss. There's a couple different, I watched a class, Jen and I, with a company that through the Mass Rural Water Department, I mean Rural Association, and they had a guy give a class on the whole thing and give us through, and they were pretty smart on what they were doing, had their own way of doing everything, so I might even ask them to come over and meet with us a little bit to give us a proper direction at least on it.
I would say, yeah, you should pursue it.
Okay.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
And just makes sense.
Lastly on my list is
copper.
We have had our first two irrigation violations, system violations. One, I was driving down the road about a month ago, and I happened to notice little streaks of water coming off the lawn, and I see flags up, and I was like, what the heck? Pulled in, I go, that looks brand new, and I look down and see that somebody had put one in, and it happens to be a house that was sold for $800-something thousand, down right across the street from one of my commissioners' house, just about.
I was wondering about that, because I haven't lived there for
yeah,
a long time.
I know. So
and all of a sudden I see this new lawn with irrigation, I'm like, I wonder if they had irrigation before.
I sent him a registered letter, and we've never got any response from them. So I called him today, and he was just this quiet, going, "Are you? I didn't put that. I'm not trying to get around anything, but I bought the house with it in it. It was already in when I bought the house." I said, "I don't know what to tell you, except that you know maybe you can go up to the contractor and tell him." I said, "But it can't be hooked up to the." Just amazed. I don't know what to say. It's going, and so he's not here. He doesn't live here. He lives off Cape. So
yeah, nobody's been in the house.
Yeah, he lives in Raynham or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I told him.
Seller,
I said, "Well, I got a meeting tonight." I said, "I'll tell him, you know, your situation that you bought a house with it." I said, "It's up to what they tell me to do." I said, "I only do what they tell me to do." He goes, "I know you're the messenger."
Well, tell me again why you think it's new.
Because it was never there before.
How do you know that?
Because I've read that house for I don't know how many years.
Okay, you just know.
And I know that there wasn't a sprinkler system in there. Besides that, I called the plumbing inspector and said, "Did you
you happen to give out a call?
Oh, I see.
And he says, well, yeah, we put out the permit on so-and-so for a backflow preventer to be installed.
Yeah. Good for you, Chris.
And I said, well, they said they gutted the house. A guy bought it, gutted the house, rebuilt the house, wanted everything to be nice. So we put this in, and I wished I had noticed it when the contractor was there. Then I could have said something. I didn't
so
see him
flipped.
Doing it.
The guy flipped.
The guy's flipped the house since then. Now the new owners, now it's on their shoulders.
What is our, what's our fine and the regulation? Do you remember?
They have 30. I got the regulation right here.
Oh.
I just had you sign it. Okay, first, outdoor water permitted system. Unpermitted installation of in-ground irrigation after the effective date of August 25th, 2021, or the beginning of the moratorium period on May 20th, 2020, suspend the use of the disc and disconnect the system from the public water supply within 30 days of notice from the department. Provide evidence of disconnection to the water supply. Removal of system to the department. Owner may install private on-site irrigation at the expense, at their expense. If we catch him using it again after I tell him, I can give him a warning for the first offense, $250 for the second, $500 for the third, and repeat offenders risk shut off of water service.
Closed up. We should send a letter, right?
I did send the original letter, and he's never picked up the certified letter. But I have talked to him at least, and I told him I would call him, talk to him either tomorrow or next week, and I would get back to him and say, listen, you know, you're going to have to move it somehow, and you're going to have a well put in.
Yeah, if you want to irrigate.
If you want to irrigate,
just,
yeah, because
just
it's been done. He goes, how would I even do that? I'm not even there. I got a hacksaw.
Somebody's going to do that.
Yeah. So that was the first one I noticed.
So, refresh my memory, the installer would have had to get a permit from the town?
And they did.
So who was the installer? I mean, not that we're going to go after
This is what's happened.
But
these are people that are behind, and they have people come in from off Cape to put in the systems.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody on Cape Cod. You know, everybody's busy doing stuff. So they know somebody off Cape, and they come from off Cape, come down, throw the system in one day, and leave.
And they wouldn't know about our right.
Right. They have no idea what's going on.
But
I talked to the permit inspector.
I walk by the house all the time. I never saw anybody laying pipe.
Yeah. I mean, you would have said something, that's for sure, if you saw it. I know. I could tell you the name.
So it's an off-Cape firm, but they still would have had to go to the town plumbing inspector.
And they did.
Okay.
And I said something to him, and he said, I said, you know, I called you when we did this. I told you that we don't allow any to be hooked up. He says, they just call him for a hookup. He says, I don't know if it's for a well. I don't know if it's for this. I don't know if it's to the town water. And I think he just forgot to tell you the truth and had no idea.
Okay.
He didn't admit to me that, but he had to go out there and look at it. If he gave, you know, the inspector had to inspect it, I would think afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Can we suggest that the plumbing inspector add a sentence to his form?
Yeah.
That says.
Check on local regs.
Well, just. No. I mean, you know, there are no new irrigation hookups in Kootenai. Right, on the form.
That's a good idea.
Can it be an add-in if you pull anything into it?
It's probably,
you know, can you have an added piece of paper that goes with the form or some kind of note?
Just a note that says, you know, that check the box. Is this installation in the village of Kootenai? Yes or no? And if they check yes, then...
Do you know the plumbing inspector pretty well?
I don't. Oh, no. The totally different department. You know, I've talked to him on the phone maybe twice in 20 years.
Oh, I think that's a good idea.
I think one of the water commissioners should go over and meet with the plumbing inspector. Not have Chris have to do it.
Well, even a letter. I don't know, maybe or something, you know, asking.
Does he have a copy of our regulation? Can he put it on his bulletin board? Can refresh his memory? I mean, shows them where the rare species habitats are.
That is one, by the way. And the other one, the guy called me today. He did take his registered letter, and I did give him the information. I gave him four different welder-owned companies to call because he didn't know anybody. Told him he was going to have to remove it, to please let us know as soon as it was off, you know, and send us proof of that he had disconnected it. We found that out because his mother-in-law called and wanted to know if there was any regulations right now going on for how much he could water so they could set their timer because he just installed a sprinkler system.
Oops.
Where was that?
Sankville Lane. Yeah, across from the water department. Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, oh, man. I got to go down, knock on a door.
Well, you know, it's also on us to not assume that just because we publicized this once, people are going to know. I mean, is it in our brochure every year? Not that anybody reads all the fine print here, but you know, I've told Jenna I have a lot of problems with this thing. I know what she has to go with for the state regs, but it's just not. We need to get more. Well, I will make a point of trying to introduce myself to the pollen inspector.
Tell him about the endangered species stuff at the same time.
We'll get you a copy, too. If you want to swing by, I'll get you a copy of the regulation.
Which regulation? Our regulation?
Yeah, our regulation that we have.
Well, isn't it on our website?
Yes. Could be. I have one here, though, that has all three signatures instead of two on it. So... It is.
So I can.
Yeah. If you need us to make a copy for you, let me know.
Where would his office be? At 200?
I believe he's at the old Hinckley building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can darken his door.
Okay. Anything else on the superintendent's
report? Just want to make sure. So when I talk to this guy, I'm just going to tell him the one over on Highland. There's no exceptions.
No.
Okay.
There's no hardship here.
Right.
I mean, he bought with it already installed, but it's, you know, buyer beware.
Okay.
I mean, a $5,000 irrigation well on a $800,000 house is a rounding error.
Yeah. That will, yes, that is all I have.
Okay. New business or old business? Frequently asked questions document review.
Yeah, I'm happy with it, and this is a living thing. It's going to change over time.
Yeah.
So we should probably look at it once a year. You know, I'm just looking at it now. Where does Katuwa's water come from? Three stations around Sampson's Mills Road.
Yeah, you had
nobody.
A couple.
You and I know that that's the name of the road in the well field, but nobody knows. Nobody else knows that. Simple version of that that's attached to this, so people will know where Sampson's Mill Road is. I don't know, there's just different things that will always come up. But I think it's fine to post now if you all approve it.
I was just going to suggest we should add a question about what we were just talking about, but it's already here. Can I install an underground automatic sprinkler system?
Right.
Right.
No.
Right. Yes, you can, as long as you put it into your own well.
Good, that's already here.
So I like the way you handled the cyber threat. I asked you to put that in.
Yep.
You did a nice job with that. So that's at the end.
Let's post it.
Let's post it.
Do you need approval? Any kind of?
We have a motion to approve these frequently asked questions.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Source water protection?
Yeah, I mean, I don't need to spend much time talking about this. The only specific thing is I did meet with Tom Camerieri to update with him and
see if he's interested in helping us out, which he is. And I think the first step is to evaluate, you know, which areas we want to target these septic substitutions. And we have his model, but as he'll tell you, that model is based upon a regional water table map and flow direction. So what we really want to do is put in and get a network of wells in this area, and then we can really define the flow and confirm it. And I suggested to him to maybe get with Chris, and we talked about there are some existing wells out there from that, that contamination study, and see if those are still accessible, and then come back. So what I thought we could start with is just the assessment of what wells are there and what would be proposed. And because for him to give us a cost, we need to know like how many wells and so forth. And if there's half a dozen out there now, that'll help. So
correct.
I thought we could get him to start with this inventory of wells that's available and then come back with a proposal. However, and another thing we might do, Robinson had an idea, which I think is a good one, that we could ask him to consider if you want to mention that.
I'm just a poor little English major. I don't understand
all
these.
I think it's a good idea.
There's an idea that if you had, instead of just individual septic systems, we could just make our own line of defense on our property and make a big linear trench.
There is something called a permeable reactive barrier that several towns have been playing around with, found that it's put one in. There's one in McCoy Bay that's working quite well. And I think Eastham has one in that's working well. So this is pretty deep to groundwater there, where Tom and I were talking, which might limit. But you can either, there's two techniques. One is to dig the trench and put the wood chips in. But most of the town, which is what they did in McCoy, most of the towns now are using a series of injection wells, like offensive wells. These are temporary wells where they just inject the carbon fluid, like it's like a vegetable oil. And they're doing that in Orleans, Eastham, I forget where else. So there are a couple of techniques, and what I'm thinking is, you just mentioned this to me recently, but Tom Camerari, again, is pretty knowledgeable about this, so I'm thinking as part of what I was just suggesting he do about looking for a well network, you could also think about this idea and give us a read on whether this is worth pursuing as an alternative.
Right. Well, depending on the cost,
I can tell you the places that have done it is expensive, and surprisingly, the fluid that they put in is called EVO. I don't know what that stands for.
And it's just been declared a contaminant by the
expensive.
Extra virgin olive oil?
It's really expensive, yeah. Yeah, because they want to make sure, especially if you're putting in a water supply area, people are going to say, what are you putting in our water?
It must move with the water.
Well, that's why it's an emulsified oil that supposedly sticks to the sand grains. It doesn't move. And, there's a lot to it. Tom can explain it. But it's a good idea we should think about.
We should. It's a reactive barrier, which might be.
Then
you
gotta,
we are not funded for that.
No, that's right. So we can at least evaluate.
We are
right.
Test wells at a level of 20,000 wells.
Yeah. So I don't know whether we can. I guess we should get a proposal from Tom to at least to do the first step of this. He said he'd get us something fairly soon. So maybe we don't need to do anything tonight, but maybe we can ask.
Think of alternatives.
Yeah.
Options.
Maybe we can improve this next time if he had.
You were looking for the prime engineering reports on the remediation from the
to give to Tom.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd like to see it too. If it's electronic. But if you only have one hard copy, maybe give it to Tom.
I think I have a couple of versions of it, so I'll look.
Thank you. But I think that's all I get for now, so we can talk more later.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I like the idea. You want to do some investigating with those existing wells.
Yeah.
And see if we can't pull some samples from monitoring.
Okay.
Is there any nitrates coming in? All of three of those stations. Outreach and education as well, and then we have the test monitoring.
the advantage. That's the disadvantage of not meeting every month, and we forgot about that.
Yep.
It's just outreach information that people do in the park. We're all in this together. We're going to deal with our water quality issues from sources that we are the sources.
They can't deal with sodium, right?
No.
Nothing can.
So, yeah, you need reverse osmosis, which is super expensive. Or distillation.
Pull that mic in a little, just because Jen's going to have to transcribe this over, too, and I'm not the greatest note taker.
So we have to desalinate our groundwater.
Desalinate groundwater.
Why don't we just desalinate the bay?
They do it in Hawaii.
Osmosis is one thing, but forward osmosis is another, and that's being worked on.
Yeah.
To say, look, why don't we just figure out how nature does it, use that instead of spending all this money and energy. Well,
that's cool.
Yeah. So
maybe there will be a technology in the future.
Things in the works.
Yeah.
New business, we have the annual sideline service bid review and award. That's something that we need to sign tonight. UniLink contract and a class action.
The lien list that's in there is just for you guys to take a peek at. It, we put in the letter that you guys reviewed it. So you don't have to vote on anything. You just look down. And you can see the first, how much you put out, how much you got back so far. The next set of, we'll go out next week, I think, the next reminders, we'll call.
So the first thing on there is the annual sideline service bid review. We've got two bids, sideline and service and construction, one from Corlotti, one from Broderick. Corlotti is low bid. They're also a company that we've used in the past. Not that that matters. They are the low bid again this year, and we do have draft.
You would have to accept the low bid of the Bortolotti's. Vote on that, then you can sign it, and we'll send it to them. They'll send us back a signed copy on their side.
Still happy with them.
Yep.
They still have the certified.
Yep, they have all the certifications and everything.
Yep.
I move that we award the sideline service bid to Bortolotti Construction of Marston's Mills. Scott, do you second?
I can second.
Where'd
that.
Go?
I can second.
All right.
Right.
Yep.
And that's for fiscal year 2023.
Yep.
As of June 15th, 2022. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous.
Yes, you just go ahead and sign that version there, and I'll get back up to the top. I don't know what you want to do. If you want to put all three, you're fine.
This page six. So you got it. Oh, that's the unit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's a different contract. Oh, wait. That's MuniLink, I'm sorry. There, sign here.
You've already been there.
Thank you.
Well, we'll sign for Bertle.
And then the MuniLink contract. So this is a new, this is part of our new software.
Correct. This is going to be our new software billing program.
Billing program.
That's going to have that's going to help us with the new, cheaper online billing we can do. So we can send out emails with the bills on them and everything. If we have a blast, we can do it. You can send out an email blast with everything. It's going to save us in postage. It's going to save us in everything.
Yeah, we went through this a couple months ago. Jen gave us the rundown.
Correct.
It seemed pretty obvious, so I recommend that we approve this contract with MuniLink for the next fiscal year.
Money will not be available until July 1 for this.
Yeah.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the MuniLink contract for our new software license agreement for starting in 2023. So it's going to affect July 1st. All in favor?
Aye.
Chris, you mentioned this would enable email blast notification kind of things. It's usable July 1st, you said, the new system?
For this system, yeah. Well, it won't be, they have to install it, do it. We have the money to contract to start everything. It probably won't be done for a few months.
What I was wondering is,
at least the money will be there to have the work start.
All right, well, maybe it's not related to this then, but it just gave me a thought. Do we want to send out a notification about the irrigation thing just to remind people?
We've just started collecting email addresses, so it's tough that we don't have. Something to put into
the future.
Know people throw them in the trash usually, but the next card we put out, asking for email addresses along with.
Yep. Okay. Thanks.
Yep.
Just a point of information that I need to be educated. I read about it in the newspaper, so it brought to mind the class action suit for MBTE years ago, what, at least 15 years ago?
Right.
And every water department district on the Cape got part of the settlement.
Right.
Yeah, we got close to, I think it was 1.8 million.
Wow.
Yeah, we got quite a bit, yeah.
Wow.
And that was, through a firm that approached us originally. We did have one station down for over a year because of MTBE. That's why we did so much MTBE and BTEC down the other end, looking to make sure it didn't come back. That it was gone. That's why we have the stuff with Prime, with these that we were talking about earlier. That's for the gas station that caused it originally.
So I saw that, I'm not sure if it was...
Healy. Attorney General Healy has brought up a lawsuit with the state of Massachusetts, hitting the major suppliers of it because we have no say on that it went to the ground. It wasn't our fault that it's there, so she's put out a basically the same. Yeah.
So, I mean, it would probably follow the same process, but do individual water suppliers have to sign on? You have to do that for MBTE, or do we just go along for a ride?
It seems as though Massachusetts is doing it, and they haven't brought anything up, put any information out on how to...
But this article was saying that one of the towns had signed on to the suit, and I'm just wondering if they did that to protect their interests or just to show support. I would assume that somebody would ask us if we wanted to join the suit.
I did call Tom Rooney up over at Barnstable Fire District, asked them if they were involved in any of the lawsuits. They actually are involved in a lawsuit with the National Rural Water Association that started back in February. There's a link here. I gave everybody, wanted to drop everybody just to show you what it is. Grab one and pass it down. Little information on it. We don't have anything right now, but that's not saying down the line with the levels as they get to and what might have to happen. That, you know, there's a link here I can go right on and put us in.
Well, I think it's for our district attorney, Boudreaux, to advise us. But
yeah, I was thinking, Chris, maybe is this worth asking Jen at Mass Water? She might know.
Yep.
About if, in fact, we should sign on. This be a big issue?
They would send out a blast. With everything that's going on, she would send out something saying, listen, this is...
She's that person at Mass Water Research.
Correct.
What is it called?
Water
Works Association.
Yeah.
She's very involved in all this legislative stuff. She's good, too.
Yeah.
She might know about this, whether we sign on individually or not.
This one here at the town of Barnstable Fire District is involved with. They're one of the major people on it. They use them and a couple others that have had to do this as named.
we ask, I mean, we have a budget for legal.
Oh, yes.
Well,
so
can I just suggest that my guess is he's going to know little about this, and he's going to be billing $300 an
hour. So where do we go for
that? Well, I was going to say, well, let's start, why not start with Jen?
Yep.
And she might, I'm guessing she might know about this. And then, I mean, I'm not against spending the money, but I think he's going to be starting from scratch on this.
Right. And so I just want a couple of simple questions to answer. Number one, are we missing a boat if we don't take some action?
Yeah, agreed, agreed.
And number two, how do you do it?
Right.
And do you have to do it? And if you don't do it, are you foreclosing a future opportunity to collect?
How about this as a proposal? What if we get Boudreau and Chris to make the call to Jen together? Does that make sense?
Then he gets a little educated.
Yeah, we'll give him a couple $100
just
to listen in on the call and see whether he thinks she's going to know. He's going to. I think she'll know what's going on here.
Yeah, she'll know right away. I mean, I'll talk to her first and say, do you want to get involved with the law, you know, here, and give him a little education on it before we get him going on.
Well, she might just say it's premature and don't worry about it.
That's what I'm, to tell you the truth, I think that it's kind of early for the whole state, but I'm not saying something like this we can't get into also.
Yeah.
Yeah, particularly with the tax accounts.
Yeah.
So, that sounds good. I just wanted to raise the issue.
I think it's good.
Check with so Chris is going to check with Jen, and then at least let Attorney Monroe know that we're considering joining the class action.
Right.
See if he knows anything about it.
Does he represent other water suppliers?
He doesn't. Well, he might represent other water, but his brother represents Sandwich Fire District. Yeah.
Oh.
So they talk back and forth about what's going on with water pumps all the time. Yeah.
Good.
Show up something I called him back in January or something like that, and I always have to call him this time. He's like, could you just make sure you get the bills in so I don't get anything after July 1st?
All right, the last thing we need to do before we elect a new chair or something like that is to just be aware of this lien list.
Yes.
We all have a copy, I believe, and it looks similar to the past lien list.
Believe me, I just picked up all the ones that were unclaimed, and that's pretty similar.
What the guy that was the $12,000 a year ago that got resolved, he's not back on here, I hope.
No, I don't believe so. Is that the one that I was having trouble getting into the house?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he showed up.
Then all of a sudden, he's there now. Now we have other people that houses that, you know, the grass right now is this big, and the guy hasn't had anything in 2 years. We haven't seen anything from him. The grass like is literally this big, and I was over sticking a notice under his door, and the guy next door goes, do you know who owns that house? It's killing me. I'm like, well, it can't be the same guy that has it now, because he still has Halloween decorations from 2 years ago on his door.
So that's a different guy.
Yeah, that's a different guy, yeah. But I did hear also, I actually notified Attorney Boudreau to ask him about shutting off a house, because we got a phone call from somebody who is an executor of an estate and wanted to go in and shut the water off, but there were people there. And I was advised by him, no way, you're not a eviction service. So do not go in there. So it's a good sized property in town that is got a new executor. Oh, it is. Oh, yeah.
So
that's why a lot of it's coming back. Yeah, we will be dealing with it eventually. No, but listen.
Let's see.
we need to do
you
reviewed. We had a couple people actually pay today. Well, actually, one person came in and paid today, so he had to redo the report. Oh, yeah.
She did that.
Yeah.
Something like getting a letter saying you're going to have a lien slapped on your registry of deeds.
So now she's going to send out the lien letter, or the notice of lien letter.
Correct. To be the second notification. After that, it goes to lien.
Okay. Good. Elect new chair, subcommittee members.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I think you're dancing. You guys dancing today?
Yeah, we're almost gonna be wrapping it up.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Cool. Yep.
Thank you.
Want to learn about water?
Got another hour?
I had a kid calling four C's. Do I report on water? What can you tell me about it? I said, there's a very nice man that works for the county. His name is Tom Camperari. This is his phone number.
Start there.
Yeah.
All right, well, in the past, since Don Campbell was chairman, we've handed off the chairmanship every year. Do we want to continue with that?
Well, I suppose it would be my turn, but I don't have any relish of doing it. I think you're doing a great job. If you would like to do it another year, I'd be happy with that.
I don't really want to do it another year, but I'm happy to do it another year.
I think you have a lot more history.
I am retiring in October.
You are?
Good.
Teaching.
Oh,
congratulations.
And so
how about one more year?
In November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June. I may not be around very often.
Always go back. It's okay, we'll keep you on the payroll.
Yeah, right.
What do you think? Are you physically or mentally?
Both. Physically, we're going to
travel.
Yeah.
Nice.
I know my responsibility goes through.
We should go back to Zoom.
Next year, and we'll be going to elections in May of next year. I do not intend to run for re-election.
Oh, good, then you can definitely stay as chair.
So that said,
I know it's it would, it, and I'm not shirking my responsibility as the intended hand off, but we had a practice. I think it's good because we're all good chair people, but I really like the way you're going down on things. I would rather have you stay there for a year. And I'll be vice chair, and so when you're out traveling, I'll chair the meeting. Because
we have to have two.
Yeah.
That's all we have to have.
I'm good with that if you are. I mean, it's more of a time sink, I know that. I mean, not no doubt about it.
Right.
But I agree. I think you do a great job. And if you're willing to do it, I'm supportive. Totally. So, you know.
That was the worst re-election campaign I've ever seen.
If nominated, I will not run.
Right.
If elected, I will not serve. So I'd like to make a motion that for FY23, the board renominate Chairman Hoppenstadt to serve one more year as chair. I hope somebody will nominate me as vice chair.
I will second both of those motions. I guess I can't second president of motion. I'll second Tom as chair, and I'll propose and amend the motion to include Commissioner Robinson as vice chair.
To perform the duties of chair when the chair is out having fun traveling.
I like it. Honored.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Call the vote.
Just keep going. Call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Congratulations, Tom.
Thank you.
And then subcommittee members stay the same?
I was going to suggest that, just because such a rare thing. It's nice to kind of have.
Right? You kind of get used to something.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, wait, am I going to change?
Yeah.
And the change is good, I think.
Well, we certainly drilled down on the bylaws this year. There's no need to do it next year, so I'm happy to stay on the bylaw committee.
Okay. So the subcommittee members will remain Commissioner Horsley on policy, Commissioner Robinson on bylaws.
Is this
on the
is this elementary school?
Yeah.
Somebody would like to pick that up.
Is this long range committee? Is that was
I
that
don't
just
mind doing that, and I want to, you know, I'd be happy to do that because I'm kind of a little bit into that with my friend George Foy, and so I'd be happy to do that, Tom, if that helps you a little bit with the chair.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Some great suggestions.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Thanks.
Come to some meetings.
Yeah.
Is this long range planning committee a standing committee, or is that just a one off?
That's just something that I think Mark Lynch was hoping to get everybody involved.
I thought it was a pretty good idea.
As often as possible. And I couldn't make it.
I thought it was a good conversation.
It's the end of the school year.
Yeah.
Just didn't work out.
Anything else?
Next meeting, real quick. Motion to adjourn.
Next meeting.
You got to set next meeting. July.
Third Wednesday in July.
Will that work?
I am going to be away the 18th.
Yeah. Third Wednesday in July is the 20th.
I'll be away.
How about the week before?
It's the 13th.
No, I'm going for a walk.
Either the 13th or the 27th. Which have a whole
Let's go with the. Oh, I got something. It's a full moon. So
I'd rather do the 27th, actually.
July 27th?
Yeah.
It'll be a late meeting. Okay.
I'm going to look at this if you guys want to share.
Do you want it? You want to stick with in person or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you, Scott.
Thanks. Good to see you.
Thank you, Scott. I'll see. Tell Tom to give me a call if you need something.
Okay.
So we're done. Take a motion to adjourn. Motion was seconded. All in favor?